Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday.
On her favorite day of the week.
It's Friday.
Yeah. Nice.
I know. I got nothing to add to that.
It's First Friday also.
Yes, it is.
So for those people who follow the First Friday devotion, make sure you get to Mass, have an opportunity to get to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Mike the Great's at the Command Center.
Yeah.
Ripster's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And we want to jump right in because Media Czar is on the line.
Oh, he's waiting.
Ready to jump in. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stir up your power, we pray, O Lord, and come, that with you to protect us, we may find rescue from the pressing dangers of our sins. And with you to set us free, we may be found worthy of salvation, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Neiman's Catering. Holiday time is family time. Neiman's makes your holiday simple with main dishes, sides, desserts, and more. Visit neimanscatering.com or call 251-473-3900 to make your holiday meals simple.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, December 2nd, 2022. China has eased some of their harsh lockdown restrictions in response to increased rioting and protests from citizens. Also, Chinese state television has censored World Cup games to remove shots of massless crowds across sight of joyous fans celebrating in packed stadiums, which had stoked anger back home, where hundreds of millions are still under strict pandemic restrictions. Crowds with no social distancing led users on China's social media platforms to complain that it contrasted with the severe isolation and zero COVID policy they are experiencing. In a joint assessment released today, the government of Ukraine, the European Commission, and the World Bank estimated that the current cost of reconstruction and recovery in Ukraine is going to amount to $349 billion. The figure's expected to rise. Todd, you better get out your checkbook. Elon Musk's startup Neuralink should be ready to test its technology on humans in 6 months, the entrepreneur said in a live stream update on the progress of the company that it's made with its brain implant technology. The company wants to be able to help restore vision and enable people with severe disabilities to move and communicate by decoding brain activity.
That sounds safe.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
You know,
eventually, Neuralink wants to open clinics where patients could get a device implanted in their brains by surgical robots.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
I think we're going to dive into that next week on the blog.
You know, I mean, it's like they've never seen a sci-fi movie before in their lives.
About 200 people ice fishing in northern Minnesota were rescued this week after a large sheet of ice broke away from shore and drifted into Upper Red Lake. The fishermen had to call 911, saying the anglers were stranded after the ice had drifted approximately 30 yards from shore. 200 people ice fishing. I just stopped right there. In sports news, the U.S. plays the Netherlands tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in the round of 16, or we like to call it the knockout round. And in weather, the temps are rising.
There always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. I'm really glad to hear that the World Cup game is at 9 a.m. so I can watch it without it competing with real football.
Oh!
Wow!
Did Mike Romano tell you to say that?
Wowee!
No, we think alike. We think alike.
Well, it is a conference championship game tomorrow, too.
Yeah, so I mean, here, the bottom line is I will get up and I will watch the World Cup game and I will cheer on the USA precisely because there's no conflict with, you know, the other kind of football. So that's great scheduling for my Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, they did that on purpose. Exactly.
Yeah, they coordinated that with the Media Czar. You have been a strong advocate and supporter of the Chosen series pretty much since its infancy, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, I have. You know, I was probably as skeptical as you could get. I saw ads for it. I heard people talking about how good it was, and I 100% did not believe them. And it was only during the COVID lockdown, when I was kind of bored out of my mind, that I decided I would give it a shot. And that's, you know, I watched it and was happily surprised how good it was. And all through season one and season two, I thought it just continued to get better and better and really hit a stride. And was very excited about season three coming out. You know, it's, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but just in case you haven't heard of it before, it is the TV series, streaming series about the life of Jesus, going in depth through the Gospels as a planned 7-season series to take us just through every nook and cranny of the Gospels, and also, you know, supplementing, adding some speculative kind of fictional fleshing out of the figures, the apostles, and some fictional, you know, some invented characters for the show to add more humanity and depth and personality, relationships, and all that sort of thing. And really, I mean, my biggest kudos to the writers and producers. This is a daunting task. I mean, just think about the fact that, like, for example, when Amazon came out with their Lord of the Rings series, all the Lord of the Rings people who know the books inside and out just, you know, scrutinized every frame and criticized everything about it in any way that it deviated from the source material. And then the Harry Potter people, same thing when those films came out. I mean, it notched that up to the 100th level of people who are in love with the faith and the scriptures and know them inside and out and are going to scrutinize this show and compare it to the Bible, the Word of God.
Right.
So, I mean, it takes bravery to try to pull this off. And I think they've done a great job so far.
The other thing to mention is that this was crowdfunded. I mean, here you talk about Amazon, who spent $1 billion on what they're doing and the amount of money that was made even on the Harry Potter stuff. But this was crowdfunded, which is pretty amazing, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's the biggest crowdfunded TV or movie venture in history to this point. And no, you know, no major studio, no TV network had an interest in touching this. And I think that works out for the best. Because it was crowdfunded, it means there were no corporate suits nosing their way in trying to, you know, focus group plot lines or characters and make changes that would infuriate people. Instead, you have filmmakers making this who are believers, who are Christians, who are making this as art and as entertainment, but also as a way to spread the gospel. So without that interference, they've really been free to tell the story the way they want to tell it. And I think it's been fantastic. Now, of course, that it's been so successful and had so many views and gotten so much attention and critical acclaim, even from mainstream press, now it shows up on, you can watch it, I think, on the Peacock app. You can find it for purchase on Amazon. And just a week or two ago, season one showed up on Netflix. So it really is more accessible now than ever before. And in addition to, of course, the Chosen app, which is where all these new episodes will originate and drop first. So, and that's free. It's absolutely free. And they're still crowdfunding the remaining seasons. But if you want to watch any and all of The Chosen, there are ways to do it for free that are legit.
What was interesting, too, was with the launch of season three, they put episodes 1 and 2 in the movie theaters. And that got, I think it was the top three. It was top three in the weekend of what was people went to the movies for, which is very interesting, too.
Yeah, so that was not this past weekend, but the weekend prior.
Mm-hmm.
So the weekend prior to Thanksgiving was when it came out in theaters, and right on the heels of the Black Panther sequel, which is still doing big numbers at the box office. So naturally, it wasn't going to beat that in its second weekend, but a couple other new films came out that weekend with some big names in them. And, you know, smaller films, not big budget stuff, but The Chosen beat all those films in its opening weekend. And what's most striking is it opened on about half as many screens as a couple of those movies. So that means, you know, tickets sold per screening was much higher. And so it really, it blew past expectations and caught the notice again of Hollywood. It dropped quite a bit in the second weekend. And so it's, if you want to see those first two episodes of season three in a theater, you really ought to try to do it this weekend, because I think it's going to disappear after that. And even I checked the listings. It's still playing in our local theaters, but really only one showing a day per theater. And there are oddball times, like early in the day. So
is it all available? Is it available on the app too, as well, or is it only in theaters right now?
Not yet. The streaming begins December 11th.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you, if you hold out a little bit longer, you can watch it at home. And I'm going to actually review those episodes. I went and saw them, but I want to warn people that if you go to the theater to see it, you know how they run a million previews. We're all used to that. All the previews before the film. Well, this set a record for me. We went and saw it. I'm not exaggerating. We went on a weeknight. I think we went Monday night, and the published start time at the AMC theater in Daphne was 7:15 p.m. So we had to pick up our daughter at 6:30 in downtown Mobile. So we thought, okay, grab her and then head over and see it at 7:15. Timing will work out perfectly. So that's what we did. We went in at 7:15, and at 7:15, the Fathom Events preview started. Now, this is one of these special Fathom Events films where, you know, it's not like a regular release. It's ticket costs a little bit more, and they show you not standard movie previews, but previews of upcoming Fathom events. Like, for example, there was that Mother Teresa documentary that I reviewed several weeks ago, and they have like live opera events and other special events like that. So they started showing Fathom Events previews, and they showed us a whole lot. I thought, wow, that's a lot of previews. And then the reel started all over again, and they showed us all the same previews a second time. And then once The Chosen actually started, it started with an introduction by the director. We talked for a few minutes, and then there was a Matt Marr music video. So I checked my phone, and the published start time is 7:15. The actual start time of the episode was 8:07.
Come on.
Yeah. So my poor 12-year-old daughter conked out halfway through the first episode because it was so late. So I'm just warning people, if you go to the theater to see this, show up like, you know, 20 to 30 minutes late. Cause I don't know if this is going to happen in every theater, but the one we went to, it's going to take 3 hours out of your life, because the episodes, you know, they go about 2 hours. So you had another hour preview. That's a 3 hour chunk.
So was it worth the wait, Tom? That's the question.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it was, but this is the first time that I've watched episodes of The Chosen where, when it was over, I said to my wife, Caroline, I said, I really enjoyed that. I liked it a lot. However, there are some weak points in the storytelling that I think that they could have fixed or done differently. Mm-hmm. And I've never really had that reaction before. Every other episode, I'm like, perfect, great, awesome, exactly, wonderful. And this is the first time I went, well, it was dragging in places. The pacing was off. This subplot really doesn't work. And let's get moving to the next thing. So I feel like they've stumbled out of the gate with season three. Having said that, by and large, I still thought it was really, really good. So the problems are not, these are not earth-shattering problems. I'll give you an example. So season two ended with Jesus delivering the Sermon on the Mount, or just he's about to start the Sermon on the Mount. So this season three, episode one starts with Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. which very powerful scene. And then after the Sermon on the Mount, he gathers the apostles together. And it's funny, they talk about how it went, what people's impressions were. And
what's the spin?
After it's over, Jesus tells them that they're going to disperse for a while, and he'll call them back together for their next mission. But then he says, but nobody leave until you've all helped clean up, which I just thought was hilarious. So the first episode is really about all the apostles going back to their homes and kind of taking a break from the ministry as they regroup with their families and all that. And so this is all, which is something I'm sure they did in real life, but that's not really covered in the Gospels, you know? So really a whole lot of this was character building, storytelling, and filling in gaps. And I appreciate the intention to try to fill out the apostles as real men with real lives. But some of the choices, when they stray from the text of the gospel, some of the writer's choices and directing choices, I think were questionable. Some were great. The way they handled the apostle Matthew as being on the autism spectrum and how they deal with him and his family is a wonderful subplot. Very well done. His relationship with his parents. But then they try to inject comedy and some cutesiness in it, where Thomas the Apostle has romantic feelings for this fictional a woman named Rhema, who's been in the show the whole time, who follows Jesus as well. And there's a budding relationship there, and he wants to marry her. Now, again, this is all speculative. And there's nothing wrong with that concept, but the way it's carried out, it's like they're trying to do sort of the rom-com awkward cuteness thing between them, and it just does not work at all. And I'm watching it just cringing, going, please don't go back to this in future episodes. This is not working. So little things like that are a bit of a stumble, and it drags. And you find yourself, there's a big chunk in the middle of these two episodes run back to back where Jesus is not present at all. I mean, we're just with the apostles in their homes and dealing with each other. So when Jonathan Rumi's Jesus finally calls them back together and shows back up, you're like, okay, now we're going to move forward. And anytime he's on the screen, it's just fantastic. And he is so good and inspired in his portrayal of Jesus. Stuff with the Romans and the Romans wondering what these guys are up to. Those are always good scenes as well. So I would say 80% of it is wonderful, right up there with the previous seasons. About 20% of it, I think, could have used some editing and tightening of dialogue, or maybe just being edited out altogether. Having said all that, it sets up the ending is very strong and sets it up with me very eager to see what's coming next. So I think it's an out of the gate slight stumble, but it's going to move forward in a strong way is my suspicion.
And how many episodes in season 3, and then how are they releasing them?
So these two have been in theaters, and then I think, as you said, Todd, around December 11th, they will release these two episodes streaming. And they have not mapped out a plan. Like they don't do a regular release schedule, like one episode a week. In the past, the pattern has been just to release them as they finish them. And so that might mean one episode, and then you wait 3 weeks for the next one, and then you wait 4 days for the next one, and then they release two at a time. There's just no rhyme or reason. They'll just sort of explain it as they go. Number of episodes, I think based on the past, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's been 8 per season. And so I expect they'll stick with that. And the length of each episode varies as well, just depending on the needs of the storytelling. So we're just sort of in wait and see mode. You got to go to the download the Chosen app, and that is the most direct way to get the newest episodes as they are released. And that is entirely free on your device. If you want to catch up, If you have Netflix, you can watch season one on Netflix, or you can find them on Amazon or on Peacock. So there's all kinds of ways to watch.
Yeah.
That shows you the power of this series, that even the big guys are wanting a piece of it, wanting a piece of the gospel. Who would have thought?
Nice. Oh.
Tom McDonald, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Alyssa Murphy's joining the show. We're going to talk about what is trending in Catholic news. There's been a lot going on. You may have missed some stories. She's going to break them down for us next on LA Catholic Morning.
And my heart lives by the bay.
Oh, we know that kind of music. We're going to get something interesting and important. Mike Romano, thanks. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. On the line joining us is Alyssa Murphy from the NC Register, National Catholic Register, ncregister.com. And she's going to break down for us what's been going on in the news. Hey, Alyssa, thanks for joining us again. Oh, I don't hear her mic.
I don't think she has her mic connected, so...
Okay.
We may have to connect with her via phone. So.
Okay.
All right.
You want to work on that connection?
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll
anyway,
get it.
She dives in. It's funny. There's a lot of Catholic news, Todd, that we don't even get to see sometimes because there's so many things going on. It's a big world. There's lots of things going on in the granular in different countries in regards to the faith. And then there's broad things going on like at the Vatican and stuff that sometimes you see headlines for. So, It's kind of hard, I think, for people every day. And then we also battle, how much do you want to dive into how the sausage is made?
Right.
So that is a problem, too, when we look at news. You don't want it to take away your faith, but you want to be aware.
It is important. Mm-hmm. It is important. But I think honesty, that's the difficulty, mm-hmm. is what the news wants to put in front of our faces.
Yes.
And how honest they are. I mean, we can talk about how Elon Musk now is restoring all these Twitter accounts mm-hmm. and these individuals who supposedly put out fake news. We all know that some of the news is going to be fake.
It might be more than just some.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I do take it with a grain of salt. There are certain sources that I trust more, mm-hmm. like the National Catholic Register.
Yeah.
I trust that.
Yeah.
I trust them as a source.
And Alyssa is in charge of the digital assets. So, and the other thing is how we get our news these days. Mm-hmm. Because you used to wait, for the biweekly or monthly newspaper to be in the back of your church to get some Catholic news. But the world moves at a quicker pace these days, too.
You think?
Yeah, I know.
But I do have issues with that because too often they're expecting us to react instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they get mad because I'll say, I just want it to percolate a little bit and get more details
right.
before I pass judgment on something. Does that make sense, Alyssa?
Uh-huh. It really does, you know, and it's so great to be with you this morning. Happy
Thanks.
Friday.
You
Happy
too.
Friday. You know, one of the stories that is just tugging at my heart, and I know at so many people around the world, is the story, the situation we see unfolding in Hong Kong with mm-hmm. these protests that have taken to the streets. But behind all of that, we do know that there is a Vatican-China deal that has also been in the news recently, given a interview Pope Francis did just before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. where he did talk specifically about the Vatican-China deal. And he says, dialogue is the way of the best diplomacy. With China, I have opted for the way of dialogue. It is slow. It has its failures. It has its successes, but I cannot find another way. And one of our writers at ncregister.com, Father Raymond D'Souza, points out that this interview was done 2 days before the Chinese regime installed a bishop of an existing diocese as the new regime-approved bishop mm-hmm. Of a diocese which does not really exist. It was created by the Chinese Communist Party, which has authority over religious matters. And he points out that the move leaves the recently renewed secret agreement in tatters. He goes so far as to say the path of dialogue in China appears closed. And, of course, just this week, we also did see Jimmy Lai, the media mogul, stout Catholic beautiful family man who's been spending 2 years in a Hong Kong prison. He was supposed to be in court yesterday. That was postponed over his desire to have a foreign lawyer. But it's just a remarkable moment as you see this man who is a millionaire, who could have easily fled the country and ran, and he didn't. And he is standing inside a Hong Kong prison praying and remaining steadfast to so many that we see these viral photos this past week of young people in Hong Kong holding blank pages that would say what they care about, what they stand for, but they know that it will lead to their condemnation, so they don't. And it's just so important to keep in mind these martyrs, these modern-day martyrs, mm-hmm. that we really don't see much reported on, and to keep them in our hearts. You, of course, while these comments were also going on, you also had Cardinal Zen, who was convicted of crimes that only lead to fines. But Jimmy Lai is actually sitting in a prison cell, could have easily gotten away from this fate, but he's looking at life in prison. And many people say that his fate is already sealed.
Mm-hmm. It does Probably seem is. Like a double standard that is going on. I just don't understand this, Alyssa, because if any other country tried to make their own diocese and install their own bishop, I just don't see the Vatican going, oh, okay.
We're going to dialogue through that.
Yeah, we'll dialogue.
I mean, what are their options here? Are they going to do anything, Alyssa?
You know, it remains to be seen. I know that one thing the Lai family has been saying is we can't underestimate the power of prayer. We have seen things change just by faith alone. But it really is an interesting moment to think of what China might do, because for China, the idea of free speech is just completely foreign to them, on top of the fact that the idea of someone standing for their beliefs is completely foreign to them. So Jimmy Lai is just a real beacon in this moment, and it's interesting to think that, it's also they're basically holy warriors when I think about Cardinal Zen and Jimmy Lai, that they stand for so much. And when you look at our own country with the scrambling infighting you see with the idea of free speech on a social media platform, mm-hmm. should lead our own government to say, well, maybe we should be monitoring this. I think it really is kind of a flashpoint to see, will this unearth something else? Because it really is getting into a dire situation.
And we all kind of know the Catholic Church moves slow and does a lot of backroom international negotiations that we don't see in the front. But it is disconcerting, I think, for a lot of Catholics who are praying, who don't hear a clear voice of standing up for the situation of the Catholics in China, the authentic Catholics. And it's very muddied waters where the Chinese Communist Party gets their hands in it. And I imagine, Alyssa, do we have any much perspective from the people in China of the muddied waters? Like, how do you decide what is true Catholicism if you're a Catholic in China? Do we have any perspective on that?
You know, I think that's what's so interesting is this idea of an underground church. Mm-hmm. And when you think of even in our own, in the United States, typically if something is kind of underground, it normally is the taboo thing you don't look for. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the faith of the underground church that is sustaining Catholics. But when you think of younger generations that maybe aren't aware of the history, that don't understand, the duality, the dichotomy that's really going on, I think then you do fall in, many can fall victim to this new state-run church. But so many, it's just so beautiful to see the faith of so many Catholics that are setting up altars even in their own homes and remaining faithful to the church in this dire situation.
See, we can't even imagine what's going on. I have
We complain about bad music.
Well, right, but I have a friend who does business in China, and so he's over there quite frequently, and he said it's sad. He'll go to Mass in the public state-run church, but he honestly doesn't receive communion because he questions the validity. That's how he feels.
Wow.
So, I mean, I can't imagine being in that situation, Alyssa.
Yeah, you know, Bill McGurn of the Wall Street Journal, he wrote a beautiful piece this past week in the Wall Street Journal called The Innocence of Jimmy Lai. And he points out that it's really this moment that Lai is actually standing against all of the lies of China by claiming innocence, because it's making China actually own up to what they want to bring against him. And I think he's, you know, I was able to just chat with him earlier this week, and he was telling me that, you know, it's National Adoption Month. He has four beautiful daughters from China. And when they last went through, he was saying that it literally felt like a police state. And he didn't go himself because he thought that perhaps it would affect what was occurring with Jimmy Lai as well as Cardinal Zen. And so his daughter and his wife went to visit them. But even on the way back out of the country, they were detained for about 5 hours. And they had to get involved. He had to get involved to make sure that they were released. But it's just a real eye-opening world that, you know, as you point out, there's so many things that we kind of – we might see a biopic of something, but we're not really living in it. But I think it really does raise awareness of this – of this police state, and hopefully, you know, we will see stronger language from the Vatican as well as our own administration. You know, we're always touting human rights, even when it comes to things that we may not even think are our rights, like claiming one's gender. But in these moments, we hope that especially the free world would stand up with all of these people suffering in China, as we're seeing even with these zero COVID lockdown measures.
It doesn't seem like the people that, or the institutions here that could make a big impact and affect change in China for the betterment of its population are really inclined to pick up a hand and do anything. And you think of the news story, Alyssa, and we're speaking with Alyssa Murphy from NC Register. It seems to me companies like Apple, they've been in the news about in a passive way supporting what's going on. And you see that because it feels, too, in so many ways, that this is all driven by money and power. And they're not necessarily concerned with the people in China.
Yeah, because, I mean, the issue that we're speaking of isn't even touching upon what's happening to the Uyghurs in China, where when, you know, speaking with Stephen Mosher, he'll tell you that it's a literal genocide. And they have extermination camps set up for these people, and you really don't hear about it. And it really is astounding when you think of how much there is such an outcry about history, these historical moments that we know factually occur, but these living moments where we could stand up and be heroic in this time, we sometimes lack those voices. But I would say one voice that is just so beautiful and so impacting the faithful in China is the voice of Cardinal Zen. You know, he's 90 years old and was in prison, and he's never faltered. And he's even said, you know, his people are in prison, so if they sent him there, he would be at home. And you see these moments where I just feel like, as a journalist, it's so important to bring them into light, because so many of these stories get passed over.
All right. Now let's kind of turn a corner here.
You have something cheerful for you?
Yeah, a little bit more cheerful. I mean, let's talk about Christmas in the Vatican. Something fun, Alyssa.
Well, what's amazing is I cannot believe it. We are closing out the first week of Advent already. The entire year has just flown by. Of course, it is an exciting weekend at the Vatican. They do have a beautiful tree that just came into town, and it's a white fir from the Monte Castle Barone Nature Reserve. Tomorrow, actually, it'll be Cardinal Fernando Verges who will preside over the lighting of that tree. They also have a hand-carved wooden nativity scene. Haven't seen any headlines about that yet. It's always a fun time to think of what the nativity scene looks like. But it's supposed to be a beautiful year, and it's always just a joy-filled season of hope, the season of Advent. So we do try to keep that alive with prayer and also looking to the beautiful blessings of Christmas.
Indeed.
That is, you're right. When I'd forgotten all about you, the controversy of the nativity set, which always seems to arise, because they can't just put a basic, beautiful Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and some sheep. They always got to go all, I don't know.
I thought it was a joke one year.
Yeah.
Because I saw photos and I said, oh, that can't be right.
Oh,
somebody must have doctored these photos because it was so modern, Alyssa, that they look like aliens.
Oh, yes. I remember that now. Oh.
I know. I think the phrase should be, as a New Yorker, we should say, they're going Guggenheim. Because sometimes when you go to the Guggenheim, it'll literally be a tray outside of a hotel room with leftover food, and that's the art piece.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, what am I looking at? But I think especially in a time of Christmas, it's so important to keep hold of traditions, because it really is that beautiful history that we're all part of in Christ.
Now, you know, Pope Francis's health, sometimes he can be at events and not. Do we have any ideas if he's going to participate in some of the Christmas celebrations?
I believe he's going to be there at the Vatican. I know we did get the news this past week that he did postpone his trip to Africa that will be now early in the next year. But I haven't seen any relaxed Christmas schedule as of yet, but we shall see. Mm-hmm. But yes, we keep the Holy Father in our prayers, of course, with his health and his walking. It's a beautiful time to really reflect on what matters most, especially as Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Great. Alyssa Murphy, thanks for bringing the news to us. You can see all of the stuff as she covers digital assets and stories at ncregister.com.
Thanks, Alyssa. Happy Advent.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
Good thing I don't have to dive into that. That would make my head explode some days. Good for her.
Indeed.
Sunday Gospel Reflection, final segment on our Friday here. And Father Andrew Jones is joining us. So stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Ripster's doing his thing. Unfortunately, we were unable to get in touch with Father Andrew Jones, so you get a layman reading the gospel.
That's okay. I could take you reading the gospel.
Okay. All right. So this will be the second Sunday of Advent, and this is from Matthew's gospel.
Okay.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So John the Baptist is on my short list of, you know, God's mercy. I have confidence that eventually I'll be in heaven. And he's on the short list of people that I want to see first.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the real deal. There's no duplicity in him. That's why Jesus spoke so highly of him. And but that means that sometimes the truth is, it comes across brutally. It is hard to imagine him yelling. I mean, here you got these Pharisees and Sadducees coming out, and he's just calling them out. You know, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath. It's not like, welcome, everybody. Mm. You know, it's not in that pastoral spirit. But the point is, in our own lives, we have to recognize what is chaff in our lives. And if you've ever harvested wheat, which I'm pretty confident that no one listening right now has ever done that. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever watched it being done, when you harvest the wheat and you let it dry, the threshing floor was a hard surface. If you can just imagine kind of like a smooth stone, a hard surface, and you would smash it down on the floor. That's what a winnowing fan does. It's like a big, almost like a rake-like thing. And you smash it down on the floor to then release the chaff. The mm-hmm. chaff is on the outside of the grain, and it's useless. Can't be used for anything. You certainly don't want to feed it to anyone, not even to animals, because it's not even fiber. Like, it's not something that you'd ever want to consume, and therefore, it just gets burned. It gets burned. You gather up the chaff, and you burn it. And in our lives, we need to recognize what's chaff, what needs to be removed from our lives and literally just burned. That's why it says with an unquenchable fire, because we want the good stuff gathered in the barn. We want the wheat. Wheat is fantastic. I just 2 days ago had some freshly ground flour that was made into a rosemary bread.
Mm-hmm.
And we a friend of mine had the wheat, and she ground it in a mill, and it was still warm when she handed it to me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. She's like, it's like a pillow. You know? And I took it home, and my wife made this incredible rosemary bread, and it was just fantastic. But if we hadn't ground it and gotten the chaff out of there, it would have been brittle. It would have been, you know, stuck in our teeth. It would not have been a pleasant experience at all, and it wouldn't have even been healthy for our bodies. There are things in our lives that are not healthy for our souls. It's not good for us. It is not helping us to get closer to Christ. It is not engaging us in the incarnation, which is what the Advent season is about. But to do that, you've got to shine light into our lives, and we have to have a degree of honesty. I'm not saying that we need to look in the mirror and say, you brood of vipers. You know, we don't have to say that. But he is calling them out to say, you've got to show, he says, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. We've got to make sure that we're letting go of all the things we need to let go of. We have to do that. It is not even something where it's a choice. I remember listening to a fantastic talk this priest was giving, and I've repeated his statement several times, because he said, there are certain things you can't bring to heaven. You cannot bring them. You can't bring discontent. You can't bring anger. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's just anger. It doesn't matter. When we start criticizing, and a lot of these things are just habits that are developed over time, and especially, he said, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is not welcome in heaven. Mm-hmm. You can't bring it there. I'm not even asking whether you're justly angry at someone. There's a dear friend of mine who, her daughter was killed in a car accident, and it was the other person's fault. And it was just horrible. I mean, it's an utter tragedy. You, as a parent, we should never be burying a child. And she was mad, and she was justly angry. I'm not saying anything about that, but you're gonna have to work that out, because you can't bring that unforgiveness and anger into heaven. It doesn't belong there. It is not welcome through the gates. So you'll have to work it out somewhere. And she was not happy with that information. She wasn't happy with that. And it took a while. But she, even the first thing she did is she went to confession. Because she's like, I need to ask for forgiveness, because I'm angry at this person. And all of us right now are sitting here going, yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. So I'm not talking about the justification. I'm just telling you that what John the Baptist is saying here, and he's pointing out, is there's chaff in our lives. There's chaff in our lives that we have to burn away. Now, you can burn it away through good works. Good works, acts of service and kindness and sacrifice. I know that Lent, we talk about fasting a lot, and Advent we don't, because Advent, there's Christmas cookies everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's going to have to be acts of kindness and love where we come out of ourselves. That helps to release the chaff. That's the winnowing fan. That's where the threshing floor comes about, and it becomes a reality in our lives. And we need to recognize those things. Like recently I had a conversation with a woman, very prayerful, daily communicant, rosaries every day, very, very prayerful. We talked about something, and it obviously touched a nerve, because they started going back and getting very angry about something. And I just wanted to point out to her. I said, listen, I get what you're talking about, but all of that stuff's going to need to be worked out. All of it's going to need to be worked out. You're going to have to let it go, because it's not welcome in heaven. And that's hard for us to hear. It's hard for us to hear.
What you're saying is beautiful, and thank you for that. Tuned way better than I did. When I hear you saying it, I'm like, man, Todd's right. That's what we need to do. I think the struggle we have is, how do we get there?
Yes.
You mentioned
there are steps.
And you mentioned, too, just doing works of kindness, because sometimes we can, what we don't feel in our heart yet, or as Father Jimmy, my old pastor, says, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do those steps. Maybe you're not feeling it, but you can kind of first retrain your actions and then let that move into your heart. Is that kind of
absolutely?
About
but
that?
John the Baptist says it. He says, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's going to come from. And this is where we forget that God wants us in heaven. We forget that.
Mm-hmm.
God is so desirous to have us there, but we should be asking for the graces. We should be asking not only for the graces, but for the ability to receive the graces. God wants us to be holy for our own good and for the good of everyone that we come in contact with.
Right. And the way that you're looking at it there, you're kind of flipping it, because a lot of people maybe sitting outside of faithful life are like, well, it's just a club and you got to do all the right things to get in. And all there's all these hurdles in the way.
Right.
But they're not necessarily hurdles in God's eyes.
No, not at all.
They're invitations.
And it becomes a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
It literally becomes a stepping stone, because the growth in that, think about it in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not fun to go back and think about the times of suffering, but isn't that where the most growth took place?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Isn't that where we got stronger in our faith? You don't have to look for suffering, but sometimes you do have to look for sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You've got to look for those opportunities. Because that's the chaff in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just talking specifically, I know the things that I need to remove in my life. And I do that through coming out of myself, dying to self, and living for others. That's what John the Baptist is talking about here. That's why he's calling them out. Because the Pharisees and Sadducees, the reason why he called them a brood of vipers is not because he's mad at them. He's mm-hmm. not. He's just calling a spade a spade. He's like, listen, you're out here because you're interested to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really are going to come down into these waters, if you're going to come down into these waters, you have to acknowledge your sin. You've got to acknowledge your sin. And then when you come out of the waters, you got to make some changes in your life. You have to. You got to make some changes. Even when Christ called out the woman caught in adultery, mm-hmm. he said, go and sin no more. I'm not judging you. Forgiveness is right here, but go and sin no more. We have to transform our lives. We've got to make changes. Got to get the chaff out of our lives.
Oh, well, now you've given everyone a task and purpose for the weekend, I think.
That's what Advent's for.
Exactly. Todd, you're awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We thank our sponsor, Tool Expo. Tool Expo now has gift cards, the perfect gift for the builders in your life. Tool Expo is geared up for residential, commercial, and industrial contractors' needs, with contractor pricing on all screws and nails. construction site delivery and service. Visit toolexpo.com. It's coming up on Monday, Mike.
Yes, on Monday, we'll talk with Catholic author Charles Camasi about his book, One Church. Matt Pinto talks about the Catholic Crypto Conference, and we'll talk with Chris McGregor. She'll share about the Women Mystic Saints.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have so many questions just about my summary.
Yes.
There's a Catholic Crypto Conference?
Yeah.
Crypto?
Crypto.
Cryptocurrency, like Catholic cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah. Boy, now I got
it. It sounds like that's going to be like a Vatican issue. You know, to find out through the back door. Some cardinal's going to jail.
Man,
I'm sorry.
I got a lot of reading this weekend.
I know. It's the Advent season. We're heading into the second week of Advent. Hopefully everyone is just preparing their hearts for a greater indwelling of the incarnate God. He loves you. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.